again.
That's a nice shirt. I like that shirt.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern.
How are you feeling?
Join us as we traverse to Starseed Paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm ecstatic to have a special feature guest today, a guy I've long admired, completely brilliant, cuts to the heart of the matter, doesn't take any bullshit, and of course, as a result, he's had book after book banned, just as you are truly. I'm talking about Mike King, the editor of the anti-New York Times and of the Real News Channel, Real History Channel. Mike, I'm just delighted to have you here.
Well, Jim, I'm not as honored as I am to be on your show. I mean, I consider you a soulmate, just in the way of your thinking and how you arrive at certain conclusions. I guess once you get the master the basics of logic, you know, people will always come to the same conclusion. And I just noticed that with people on the same wavelength. By the way, that's realhistorychan.com.
Right, Real History Chan. Thank you very much. Yes, Mike. Well, I love the way you organize your posts, you know, for the anti-New York Times. I mean, it's just so systematic. It's so decisive. I mean, just cuts right to the heart of the matter, leaves no doubt about it. And you take no prisoners, my kind of guy.
Well, I feel that I have a niche in the way I do this, and everything I do is with the main objective in mind of being concise and getting right to the point, taking a complex matter, boiling it down, presenting it in a simple way, but not simplistic. And there's an important distinction. And that's what my work does. I just get right to the heart of the matter because, you know, Jim, not everybody's academically inclined or has the time. You know, we're pressed for time, and I get right to the point, and I always back it up with facts, and a lot like you do.
That's exactly right. I mean, I certainly sensed a kindred spirit long, long ago. When I was an assistant professor at the University of Kentucky in the 1970s, at one point I was engaged to a PhD student in psychology, and she lived and breathed the New York Times. She thought it was gospel. She couldn't go a day without an edition, reading every single word. And at that point in time, it was still a reputable newspaper and not the propaganda rag as we come today, for which I so admire your dissection. You don't let them get away with anything. just like my wife with me.
No, it's bad, and they really are at an all-time low today. You know, Jim, I subscribe to a service that gives me access to every issue, every article of the New York Times dating back to 1900, and it's an invaluable resource, and the stuff I pull out of there. But what I notice is that when you go back to when the Sulzberger family took over that newspaper, that early on, the propaganda was very subtle. Couldn't notice it. They had to tread carefully because the population was not as totally brainwashed as we are today. And then progressively, decade by decade by decade, it becomes more overt. So the more confidence they gain, they show their true agenda. But if you go back 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and you read the Times, it's surprisingly objective, even though it's still manipulative. What they used to do back then, Jim, is they would present the other side of the issue, but at a ratio of, say, 3-1. And maybe they would bury certain things in the inner pages and then promote certain things on the front page. So no one could accuse the New York Times back in the day of not presenting all sides, but it was still manipulative. But now they've totally abandoned it, and it's as bad as the New York Daily News or MSNBC. Yet it still retains that illusion of prestige, and people just take it seriously, which is hard to believe.
Well, it's remarkable that, in my judgment, the New York Post is a more reliable source of information than the New York Times. And the Post is willing to deal with these issues like the Hunter Biden laptop that other venues are going to skip over or suppress or distort or just plain out lie about. I mean, it's astounding to me the extent to which the mainstream media has been a propaganda of falsehoods issued deliberately, which makes them lies. I mean, it's just inescapable, Mike. The state of the news in America is deplorable.
Well, it is the metaphorical blindfold, and it's probably the most single dangerous element in the arsenal of the globalists, the New World Order gang. You take everything else they have, whether it's the weaponry or even the control of the banking system and the corporations. It's a multi-tentacle octopus, but this is the linchpin. You know, if you take away the blindfold, then we can see everything else. As long as that's there, all the other problems, you'll never be able to touch them. So, it's just logical. It's very important. You know, I always say, if you want to understand the world, watch The Godfather. And I later found out that the author of The Godfather said the exact same thing. So you talk about kindred spirits coming to the same conclusion. So I was like plagiarizing him without even knowing it. But he said the exact same thing. You want to understand the world, watch The Godfather. And what do you see in The Godfather when Michael Corleone wants to take out that crooked cop? Tom Hagen and Robert Duvall says, you can't kill a cop. You know, everyone turned against us. He says, wait a minute. We have newspaper people on payroll, right? We can make a story of a crooked cop involved in the rackets. People like a story like that. And then they said, yeah, we could kill the cop. And then they went through their newspaper contacts and they spun it. And that really is a microcosm. So you've got to get the media if you're going to control the world. And they've been at this for more than a century. 1896 is when Adolf Ox, a Jew from, I think, South Carolina, bought the New York Times, which was in distress in 1896 because of the Jewish financiers crashed the economy in 1893. So he bought it on there. And it was a reputable paper back then. And slowly but surely. And I go back and I can read these old issues, and it's really amazing. You see just how gradual and how patient they were with administration. And they begin to manipulate us into accepting the Federal Reserve and in World War One, and it just progresses. But now it's just a caricature of itself. It's almost comical, the garbage that they put out.
As the audience will know, I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. I have a panel of 100 executives from NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. I have a panel of 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. And we know our Congress is Israeli-occupied territory. Cynthia McKinney informed the world in 2011 on Press TV about the pledge. She said to me later, she thought everyone knew, but she explained how new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge to put the interest of Israel ahead of even that of the United States. A colleague of mine with whom I do JFK research years ago asked me, did I know how many members of the then present Congress had not signed the pledge? And I admitted I did not know. And he held up one finger of one hand, Mike. It's that bad.
Ooh. That would have to be Ron Paul, I would guess.
He wasn't still in Congress. Actually, it was some kind of obscure black guy who was in the House who had refused to sign it, but everyone else had gone ahead of him. It was just outrageous. So I wanted for us to look at a couple of key issues before we turn to other matters, including what's going on here with Zelensky in Ukraine. He's, of course, slamming Biden for his stance on NATO membership. Actually, Biden, we have the latest report, said that for Ukraine to join NATO would put us at war with Russia. But Zelensky is very unhappy about it. It's unprecedented and absurd when a time frame is not set neither for the invitation or for Ukraine's membership, while at the same time vague wording about conditions is added even for inviting Ukraine. Now, it looks as though this may not happen. It certainly does not appear as though it's going to happen at this current NATO summit. I don't think it's ready for membership in NATO, Biden told CNN's Fareed Zakaria. I don't think there is unanimity in NATO about whether or not to bring Ukraine into the NATO family now at this moment in the middle of a war. And it's frankly absurd, the very idea of having a member join when you have Article 5 that requires a united response of all NATO members to an attack on any member. I mean, that would be directly engaging in war. When I first read the story, go ahead, Mike.
Well, that was the plan. When Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and then later on when she was a candidate in 2016, she ran on, this was part of her platform, to put Ukraine on a pathway towards NATO membership. She was joined in that by people like Victoria Nuland, who was instrumental in the bloody coup, which overthrew a legitimate government in Ukraine in 2014. John McCain, I mean, the usual cast of characters, the neocons, were all, they had us on track. They wanted to put Ukraine on track for NATO membership, because they had World War III in mind. And Trump came along and put a monkey wrench into that operation. Ukraine is not going to be admitted to NATO, and Biden is not going to do it for reasons which we can explore, but he is. This is part of a pattern. This character in the White House is under control in a good way, because a lot of the very bad things that could be happening, he's actually not doing. I did an article, an anti-New York Times article, February 27th. U.S. weapons are not arriving in NATO. Prior to that, there had been big headlines that were given all these weapons to NATO. And then it came out, and the New York Times reported on this, that, oh, by the way, it's going to take a year to get there. A few days later, same story, March 2nd, the German tanks will not be arriving either. And there's a whole pattern of this, of there's all this war talk, and we're going to arm up Ukraine, we're going to protect Ukraine, but then it just doesn't happen. So now we have Biden saying, well, you know, we're not going to do NATO membership. So that fits the pattern. Biden also refused to rehire all of those global warming charlatans that Trump fired back in 2017. He's also not implementing the Paris Climate Accords, even though technically he put us back in. So There's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes, but Ukraine will not be joining NATO. And that is wonderful, Jim, because that was one of their key agenda items, was to bring about a confrontation with Russia and all that entails.
Yeah, I think that is going to be the outcome, Mike. Here we have the antiwar.com reporting that NATO is actually dropping requirements to become a member, their so-called MAP, which is a set of requirements that are necessary for membership, designed to ensure aspiring NATO members make reforms to meet certain political, economic, and military standards to join the alliance. Well, they dropped that for Ukraine. Following intensive talk, NATO allies have reached consensus on removing MAP from Ukraine's path to membership. I welcome this long-awaited decision that shortens our path to NATO. But that's just absurd. I mean, what is NATO supposed to be? Here's the most heartening and the reason why I think you've got it right. Germany to block Ukraine's NATO accession amid fears of war with Russia. I mean, what could be more obvious? Well, I mean, what could be a dumber idea at this point in time than to have NATO join Russia when there's not just a possible war, there's an actual war? Germany's apprehension stemmed from the possibility of triggering Russian aggression, leading to an invocation of NATO's Article 5. An attack against one NATO member is an attack against all. The cornerstone of the NATO alliance has been invoked only once following 9/11, which we know was a staged, orchestrated event, an inside job that was motivated by Israel's desire to draw the United States into the Middle East to use American forces to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. But since Vladimir Putin made it clear from the beginning that NATO membership for Ukraine was unacceptable, when we've been going through this war, when the Ukrainians are losing massively, there are all kinds of obvious reasons why that's happening and is going to continue. There's no way Ukraine can prevail. And it's even illustrated by the cluster bomb fiasco, Mike, because Biden let it slip that it was an interim stopgap measure because we've run out of 155 howitzer shells. Even Mike Adams 6 months ago is saying how Ukraine can't win because the West can't beef up its munition production, whereas the Russians are going full blast. They have a 10-to-1 artillery advantage. I'm a former artillery officer in the Marine Corps. Most deaths in war are not from combat infantry tanks. It's from artillery. And with this 10-to-1 advantage, they're bringing about a casualty ratio on the same order, 10 Ukrainians for every Russian. They're running out of troops, Mike. They not only don't have the munitions, they're running out of troops. And now France, incredibly, is promising to give long-range cruise missiles to Ukraine. I can't imagine anything more stupid, colossally stupid.
They probably won't even arrive there as well. You know, this so-called war ended a long time ago. Russia did what it needed to do, which was liberate the eastern provinces. And they're not going back, and everybody knows it. The grand plan, the grand scheme, which was foiled, was to basically repeat Afghanistan in Ukraine. And just to back up a little bit to the 1970s, the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan was not what it was presented as. And I'm no apologist for communism, of course. But the reality is Afghanistan was a non-aligned country. They had no desire to choose sides, you know, against the United States or Soviet Union. They were just non-aligned. And Brzezinski and company started with these proxy armies and the CIA armies and began destabilizing Afghanistan. The president of Afghanistan went to Brezhnev to ask for help. And Brezhnev says, no, if I go into your country, your people will never accept it. The world will never accept it. You've got to deal with these rebels, these CIA rebels on your own. Finally, when they rose up and they overthrew the Afghan government, the Soviets had to go in, and that was the bear trap. Time magazine did a cover. They actually have a bear in a trap telling you what they did. So they induced the Soviets into the Afghan quagmire, and they were armed to the teeth, and it was a disaster, and it contributed to the disintegration of the Soviet Union years later. This is exactly what they had wanted to do in Ukraine. I'm talking about Hillary and Nuland and McCain years ago. But that hasn't transpired because Putin was very patient. He waited them out. He got a lot of help from Trump on that end. And then he went into eastern Ukraine, did what he had to do. And now NATO is collapsing. In essence, it's useless. They're just standing there, able to do nothing, because they know the United States is not coming.
You know, most Americans to this day do not know that Osama bin Laden was our man in Afghanistan, that he was instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen. They used to shoot down the Soviet helicopters and planes, which is what drove them out. He was an officer in the CIA, Tim Osman by name, an official of the agency, visited him in a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death from his medical maladies. It's tough to get those dialysis machines in and out of the caves in Afghanistan. He died on 15 December 2001, Mike. It was just, you know, not that long after 9/11. And he was buried in an unmarked grave in accordance with Muslim tradition. Both CNN and Fox both caught up with the news on the 26th of December and published articles about his death. But the government continued to play the role. They were using fake Osama's phony audios and all that. I was a founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth in 2005, and we were publishing articles by experts on Osama that this was a fake, it was a fraud. And of course, then Obama had to resurrect him to kill him in the phony attack on the compound in Pakistan to position himself as the man who got the most wanted man in the world for a triumphal re-election. But it was all bullshit from the beginning.
And if you recall, that happened at a time when Donald Trump, he was not a candidate, but he was really slamming Obama hard. I think he was even offering a reward or something. He wanted to see his birth certificate. He's still claiming that he wasn't born here. And it was really making the news. And all of a sudden, this just switched everything. And at that same exact moment, he also released a fake birth certificate. And it just silenced everything, because he released the fake birth certificate. And then he made himself the hero who got Osama. And that's it. He was off the hook. And Trump was forced to back off. But, you know, for a moment there, Obama must have shot up to 90% of people on the basis of this fake event, this killing of a man who was killed 10 years earlier, you know. But they have to take Osama out early, because he's making these videos. I'm talking about the real videos early on, where he's, he's saying, you know, I didn't do it. You have to look within the U.S. intelligence agencies. The United States is under the control of Jewish conspirators, et cetera, et cetera. He's actually saying this, and this is quite embarrassing. And, you know, they knew where he was. They took him out a long time ago. So evidently they played him very well. They used him to help the situation in Afghanistan, fighting the Soviets in a proxy war. And then when he became expendable, they made him a patsy for 9/11, and then they took him out. So that's non-common. They'll play you and then use you. And then throw you out like a used up lemon rind.
By the way, I'm interested in your take on the big picture with Ukraine as I see it. You know, DNA has shown that most of the occupants of Israel are not descendants of the tribe of Judah, but they're Khazarians. These are Ashkenazi Jews that came from a region that is now part of Ukraine. And while Zelensky has talked about Ukraine being a new Israel, there's an ambiguity there. Sometimes he seemed to imply by having armed forces, schools, every checkpoint, but I think he actually means more literally to be a new Ukraine. I think Israel has been behind all of this and wants to reclaim Ukraine as its homeland, but that they're not willing to give up any parts of it, Crimea, the Donbass, any of that to Russia, Russia, on the other hand, is firmly in control and will never relinquish. So I think we've reached an impasse that the war is going to just drag on, but there's no possible way Ukraine can prevail. And as long as there's not some stupid use of tactical nukes by the West, which could bring about a conflagration, because Putin has made it clear that if nukes are introduced, they're not going to mess around and tit for tat. They're going to go in an all-out salvo that would bring about 100 to 200 million deaths in less than an hour. It seems to me Russia is going to win an ugly victory in Ukraine. It's going to occupy about 40% of the country. The rest is going to be dysfunctional. But the very idea NATO should still be talking about membership for Ukraine just represents a triumph of, in my opinion, Israeli political pressure on these nations that ought to know better, because this is about as dumb an idea as you could possibly entertain.
Well, it was interesting. During that violent coup of 2014, the Israeli was involved in that. There's agents who were filmed on the ground, so that you had Israel was also present there. But you know, again, the positive news on that front is that Russia, China, Iran have been engaged in military exercises in the Middle East, and you add to that mix Turkey and now Saudi Arabia. They're all coming together, economic military alliance.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the U.S. is out. So you have now is a situation where the Israeli mad dog has been confined to its kennel, and they're powerless now. I mean, they can still give the Palestinians a hard time, you know, of course, but in terms of triggering that war for greater Israel, which was always the grand scheme to expand between the Nile and the Euphrates. That's why they wanted 9/11. That's why they wanted to take down Syria. That's not going to happen anymore. And this is really a positive development. That's just
kind of happening. Mike, stand by. We got a break. 5 minutes. Grab a cup of coffee, and we'll continue with Mike King right here on the Raw Deal.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, welcome back, everybody.
Yep. Get my cup of coffee, Mitchell. Right. Sorry about that.
That took
a minute longer than I anticipated. Mike, let's shift gear and talk about domestic politics for a while. We have RFK Jr. entering the race, which I think is mucking things up with the Democrats big time. Biden has been floored by must-win states, all the swing states. The very ones they've manipulated in the past are going for Trump by 48-41. This includes Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Those are strong numbers in Trump's favor. But are we surprised? Biden has failed on nearly every issue. He's gone out of his way to hamstring the economy, give our money to foreign nations, Ukraine in particular. The administration is run by idiots. His family is mired in scandal and crime, and the man appears to be losing his mind by the minute. It's absolutely unbelievable. And get this, compound it with, Biden has no campaign headquarters, no plan to hold campaign events, is not spending campaign money, and the Democrats aren't worried. It looks as though they're going to plan to win 2024 the same way they did win 2020, Mike. I'm very disturbed by all of these developments. But as I say, I think RFK Jr. has vastly complicated the situation for the Democrats. The DNC didn't want any debates. They didn't want any alternative candidates. And here you have this guy from our nation's most famous political family throwing his hat in the ring. I think they're in deep trouble. Your thoughts? But of course, I mean, given the way they rigged elections, that can be why they're not concerned anyway, regardless. Mm.
Well, I have an interesting take on this matter that require a little bit of like study analysis for people to get it. And I'm sure you will if, you know, I show you the research I've done. But let me put it this way. As you said, Biden could not possibly be doing worse.
Right.
If he were an agent of Donald Trump. I mean, you talk about a straw man that is being set up for destruction, not just him, but the party in general. All of the indicators are there. And this is consistent with what I talked about earlier, how he's standing down in the Ukraine, talking about sending weapons, not doing it. Talking about getting us back under the Paris climate scam, not doing it. And on, this is a pattern. And pattern recognition is my specialty. Once you start seeing a pattern, those mathematical laws of probabilities kick in, and you start to say, what's going on here? What is this guy doing? And what is happening is you're going to see such an anti-Biden, you can already see it, an anti-Biden wave that is this next time around, when it sweeps Trump back into office, he's not going to have to deal with the likes of the Paul Ryans nipping at his tail or John McCain's or Jeff Flake's. He has systematically, over the course of the last 6 years, purged over 100 globalist rhino rat Republicans from the United States Congress. This is his party. All the globalists are gone. Even the Israel firsters are gone. So when he comes back, he's going to have power that he never had before. And all of this will have been enabled by the disaster that was the Biden presidency. Had Trump won in 2020, none of this would be happening, because the economic crisis that we're experiencing, sooner or later, his day of reckoning had to come. Better with Biden in there, okay? The same with all of the other issues. So the idea was to allow this character, Joe Biden, to get into the White House and show the American public, show them, scare them, and it's happening. So, and this, in my view, is all by design. The Biden presidency, as bad as things seem, is going to be the darkness before the dawn. And all of the indicators are there right now. I do not believe that there will be fraud in 2024. And I do believe that what happened in 2020, as well as 2018, by the way, which where the Democrats won a lot of seats, was part of an elaborate sting operation that will be revealed in due time. And if you follow Trump's statements, and I do every day on Truth Social, he has not relented in saying rigged election, rigged election, rigged election. It is a mantra. And he's the type of individual who doesn't make these kind of statements unless he's holding some kind of card. And that is my view of the matter. So I am not afraid at all of election fraud in 2024. I foresee Trump's return, only this time he's going to have the Freedom Caucus Congress. And if you read the Constitution, Jim, it is the Congress where the real action is. They truly have the power. Problem is, they've never asserted it over the years. They always yielded it to the president or of their own party. But next time around, he's going to have unlimited power to do some serious stuff. So that's my take on the matter. There's just no way that the Democrats, you say what you want about them, they've always been politically astute, that is, cunning. And all of a sudden, just dumb as hell, everything they're doing, all of the decisions they're doing, all of the bad optics that they're putting out, this fixation with the trainees and everything, and Biden falling off his bike and Biden falling down the stairs. It's just on all levels, it's just a self-destruction. And the fact that Trump is already polling ahead by 7 points against Biden is really astonishing. And it's really surprising that the media is even reporting on that, because they didn't do that 4 years ago, and they didn't do that when he was running against Hillary. So, again, these are positive indications that there are tactical intelligence maneuvers going on beyond most people's understanding. Well, not so much understanding, but knowledge. And it's by design. It has to be that way. I believe we're watching some kind of a movie that's going to have a happy ending.
Well, I have a somewhat different take, Mike. I'm really worried that they're going to use a Dominion machine, drop boxes, trucks full of phony ballots, mail-in ballots, and all that to steal again. I mean, they did it in 2022. Even James Corbell tacitly acknowledged that the Democrats had stolen 57 seats in the House from the Republicans, blaming it on Trump, which was absurd. Trump was a primary reason the Republicans were doing so well all over the place. Tucker recently said he made a mistake in making projections about who was going to win, but that's because Tucker's naive about how they rigged the election. He was making projections that were well-founded in terms of the actual trends and relative popularity of the candidates, and it had not been for the Dominion machines and the like, he would have been spot on. Yeah. Tucker's wonderful on so many issues, but he's a little wet behind the ears in terms of conspiracies, Mike, as I see it. I mean, I adore the guy, and I'm ecstatic that on Twitter.
You have to look at the world which he's operating in. You know, you and I have the luxury of telling the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth as we see it. But when you get to that level on Fox, you have to stay within the lines of, I mean, do you want to get up as much truth out as you can, or do you want to get taken off the air, which he eventually did?
Well, Tucker has said that for Fox, the Ukraine war is a red line. And if I'm right, you know, about the dominance of Israel, of our media, I mean, that's going to extend to Fox. And they're going to cash him in because the Israelis are all in on Ukraine. And I think this is the inescapable fact of the political reality of our situation today. Now, regarding the idea of Biden being some kind of fall guy, they had to rig to get Biden in so that Obama, Soros, others behind the scene could manipulate. The real Joe appears to have died in 2017. Even his granddaughter said her grandfather died, but the family liked being in politics so much they've had others playing the role. We have all kinds of evidence. I've done blog after blog. They have different shape and size of head, different ears, different color eyes. James Wood was the first to notice the color eyes. But from the debate with Trump, I was already calling out that this was a fake guy, not the real Biden. And he's even wearing a latex mask. There's some events where you can see it very clearly. Now, what troubles me massively, Mike, and why you can't afford to have this administration in office is the massive damage you're doing to the country. Look, Trump was putting up the border wall. He had reduced migration to a trickle, but Biden abandoned that. Now we got millions coming in. A lot of these are young, military age. They look perfect, except they don't have the weapons. We learned that these non-law enforcement, non-DOD-related agencies have acquired $4 billion in military equipment they don't need. I say they posited them in caches around the country. DHS has given cell phones to the migrants where they know where they can find the weapons. I'm not quite sure if it's going to play out as we see in France now with a massive uprising, but I have no doubt this is going to be a military movement against America from the inside. And once it breaks out, I think Biden admin wants to declare martial law. And because they used January 6th to expand the concept of domestic terrorists to include, you know, Trump supporters, conservatives, militias, any right wingers, they're going to round them up as domestic terrorists and give them summary judgments and executions. This happened after the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. And it's mind-boggling to contemplate, but check out the film released in 1991 called The Czechist, and you see that's what they did. They just had 10 million or more ordinary Russian civilians who were perfectly law-abiding, who were brought in. They were required to undress, and they were shot in the back of the head and then toted off for disposal, and it happened again and again and again. Honest to God, Mike, it's horrifying to contemplate, but I believe that is the plan.
Well, I believe that was the plan. and I'm glad that you've already established that this character is an imposter, because now we've got enough common ground where we can, you know, have a discussion in this limited time. So we agree on that matter. There would only be two forces on Earth that could pull off such an elaborate deception. One, of course, would be the intelligence agencies, the usual suspects, the same folks who brought us 9/11, et cetera, and the JFK assassination. But what if there's another force, equivalent force, powerful force that has gained the upper hand? And that would be the force of U.S. military intelligence that is guiding these events and this imposter. What if this force allowed the election to be stolen as part of partially because it's a sting operation? If you're ever going to get a handle on this election fraud, you have to allow them to do it. You couldn't just protect it and have Trump reelected and then go after the vote fraud, because it just doesn't make sense that way, because you won anyway. But what if they're controlling the election and allow the fraud to take place? Because it's a sting operation that will be revealed in due time, but also mainly because to have this character in the White House do limited damage. Yes, he's doing damage, but it can be reversed. Trump has already said, and I believe him, that as soon as he returns, and I believe he's already the commander in chief behind the scenes, but as soon as he returns officially, he's going to round them up, and they're all going back, however many came in. So this scenario works both ways, Jim. You've got good intelligence operatives, bad intelligence operatives. Somebody has put this character in a mask in a fake White House. That's another issue. You see all the Are you familiar with the fake White House and the fake background?
Yeah. Sure.
So I'm glad we have common ground there. I think if you look further into this, I'm at least convinced that it is the power of military. If there's one institution in this country that is not totally corrupted, totally, key emphasis on totally, it's the U.S. military, particularly when you talk about special forces and military intel. And I believe that this is the hidden hand, the so-called guardian angel, so to speak, that took Donald Trump and achieved the impossible, which was the defeat of Hillary Clinton. I'll tell you, James, I'll never forget that night, 2016. I didn't even stay up to watch the elections. I went to bed early. I was staying at my father's that night. He was in his 90s. So I used to stay there a couple nights a week. He said, "Aren't you going to stay up?" I said, "Dad, it's rigged. They're going to put that witch in the White House, if possible." And the following morning, I said, "How is this possible?" I sensed even back then there was some kind of force behind Trump, protecting him, guiding him, that the elites were very afraid of. And that force is in operation today. And that this character, this fake Joe Biden, is, in my view, an actor, and is on our side, and he's throwing the match. He could not possibly be doing any worse than he is. And as hard as that is to believe, when we see the final result of the return of Trump and the takeover of Congress by the Congressional Freedom Caucus, then this will begin to make sense. But one way or another, there's somebody behind this character, Biden.
My take about 2016, and I discussed this with Richard Charnin, who's an expert on election fraud and vote rigging. You got to go where the votes are, which are the big cities, so they can rig the big cities. What happened and saved Trump was outpouring of votes from rural communities where they were unable to rig it. And that was simply too much for them to deal with. And that's that. So he was actually saved by the people of America, who saw him as bona fide, as genuine, as caring about them and not a member of the establishment, which was all correct, of course. But the fact that he wasn't of a party meant that when he came into office, he didn't have a lot of pre-designated experts who are on his side to fill all the key positions, including in the cabinet. And he was given bad advice deliberately, in my opinion, by a whole host of individuals who actually were opposed to Trump, but pretended as though they were favorable to him so they could deflect. You know, he'd make a decision in the Oval Office and they say, "Oh, yes, sir, we'll do it." And they'll get outside and look at each other and say, "We're not doing that." So I think he got hogtied. But the guy's, in my opinion, a good guy. He mucked up on the facts. I think he was misled there. It's like Jack on going to the moon. You know, we couldn't possibly have gone to the moon, but he did not know. We didn't have the propulsion capability or navigational or communication or whatnot. He would never have endorsed it, nor would he have gone for it with a Bay of Pigs had he been properly informed that Fidel already knew we were coming. The CIA had looted, the Soviets knew and informed Fidel, and they knew that was the case. The only one who didn't know was the commander-in-chief, who would have called it off. And, of course, they expected him to send in the Marines to save the situation rather than take egg on his face, but heroically, nobly, properly took responsibility and wanted a clean house, which is among the reasons the CIA threw in on the assassination, because he really did want to shatter the agency into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the wind. So RFK Jr. is absolutely right to that extent. It turns out the sponsors went far beyond the CIA, the Joint Chiefs, the anti-Castro Cubans, the Mafia, the Texas oil men, Israel, the Fed. Jack represent policies that were inimical to all their interests and all preferred those of LBJ to JFK, except for the anti-Castro Cubans, who simply wanted revenge because they believed falsely he'd betrayed them at the Bay of Pigs. He made it clearer to those in charge. And by the way, it appears George H.W. Bush was actually running the operation, which was codenamed Zapata, same as the Bush Oil Company. He rechristened two of the ships, Houston and Barbara, just as he did with his planes in World War II. And I think that had it been a success, Zapata would have had the concession to drill for oil all over the Caribbean bases. But he had, you know, Maxwell Taylor and Bobby conduct an investigation, fired Charles Campbell and Richard Bissell, the deputy directors, and retired Dulles with fanfare. Charles Campbell just turned out to be the brother of the mayor of Dallas at the time, who it turns out joined the CIA in 1956. So, you know, Jack was surrounded by traitors. Henry Gonzalez warned him not to go to Dallas, but he said he'd check with the Secret Service and everything was all set. Yeah, indeed, everything was all set. Yeah. Because I have more than 15 indications of Secret Service setting him up. And indeed, it was Lyndon who was responsible and even sent his chief administrative aide, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination. A despicable story. There's a recent little clip where Ethel was asked, and she was saying, well, we all thought it was Lyndon. And, of course, that was exactly right. It was all the way with LBJ.
What a horrible human being LBJ was. I mean, of course, he would be a high-level operative in this, but the actual decision can only be approved by the higher bosses, and that's your deep state, your CIA and the Mossad, of course. But then on the next level, you know, you have a high-level operative like LBJ, who, you know, it's interesting, Jim. It was openly acknowledged. I did an article on this by the New York Times. I think they did a review on a book about how LBJ stole the election in 1948, Texas Senate election.
Oh, sure.
It was only like a couple hundred books. I mean, the thing was so blatant, and that's what got him started.
They had like 100 dead people voting in alphabetical order, Mike. But in alphabetical order.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah.
So blatant that even the New York Times acknowledges it. But it's interesting event that happened so long ago, they have no problem saying, yeah, it was a rigged election. Okay. But now they call you an election denier. So it's really contradictory. If it happened then why wouldn't it happen now? And then, of course, LBJ, I don't believe JFK was involved in this, but when he was on the vice presidential ticket, there were shenanigans down in Texas and also in Chicago. This is part of our history. But in my book on Joe McCarthy, St. Joseph of Wisconsin, you know, in my research for that book, it was interesting. I found out the extent of the collaboration between the war hero, Dwight D. Eisenhower, and the Senate Majority Leader, LBJ, which is astonishing. By 1952, he was already the Senate Minority Leader, and the Democrats won the Senate. Because Eisenhower refused to campaign for conservatives. He hated the Democrats in the Senate. So by 1952, just 4 years after stealing the Senate election, he's the Senate Majority Leader. And Ike and LBJ stymied the McCarthy investigations. And then a few years later, McCarthy himself dies. So that's LBJ's trajectory. Stolen election. Destroys Joe McCarthy, who at the time had the support of a lot of Democrats, okay, until LBJ twisted their arms. And then because Vice President, USS Liberty, et cetera.
But, you know, the very day of the assassination was to be voted on the Senate on the Bobby Baker scandal, where Bobby was LBJ's bag man. And it was widely regarded to tarnish Lyndon so badly he couldn't run again with JFK, but Jack had already decided not to run with Lyndon again. He was thinking of Terry Sanford, the governor of North Carolina, as his running mate. Those who want to understand LBJ, I can't recommend highly enough books by Phil Nelson, one of which is entitled LBJ, Mastermind of JFK's Assassination. After you read the first few chapters, you'll understand how ruthless this man was. Totally resourceful. I had a conversation with Madeline Duncan Brown, a mistress of Lyndon. They began an affair in 1948. She bore him a son, Stephen, in 1950. And she didn't quite understand what John Connally meant when he was asked to describe Lyndon and said that would take every adjective in the dictionary. And I explained to him, that's because Lenin had so many strengths for good, but also for evil. It would take all the good, but all the bad. This book by Phil Johnson is Phil Nelson is fantastic. Robert Caro is widely regarded as the greatest historian on LBJ, but when it comes to the assassination, he falls apart. He can't deal with it. He knows. I think there was a collapse, and he was, you know, very, very good in his early work. But here, if you want to get the rest of the story, you got to get Phil Nelson. And he has a sequel called From Mastermind to Colossus, talking about Lyndon in the presidency. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. And, of course, we all know about his complicity with the USS Liberty. He wanted the Israelis to sink the ship so the U.S. could enter on the side of Israel against Egypt and the other Arab nation. But Moshe Dayan is such a brilliant general. The Israelis didn't need any help from the U.S. But Lyndon even called back the fighter aircraft coming to the aid of the Liberty. It's a truly disgusting story. Virtually miraculously, the ship did not sink, but we lost some 34 seamen and another 151 or so were injured. It's quite a horror story when you put all the pieces together.
Yeah, it certainly is. My understanding is they finally called off the attack because the Russians were in the area, or Soviets. And of course, I'm sure, as you know, one of the main cover-uppers of that incident was John McCain's daddy.
Yeah, he was an admiral. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
McCain, it turns out to be such a mixed bag. You know, they even called ISIS John McCain's army. Most Americans don't understand ISIS was created by the United States, by Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, John Brennan and Barack Obama in 2012. And it was opposed by Mike Flynn, who was the director of the National Intelligence Agency, so that Brennan subsequently suggested to Obama he should fire Flynn, and of course that would come to pass. Mike, another prank. We'll be right back with Mike King. What a delight.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal attempted to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Mike, needless to say, I was profoundly grateful when you were game to publish a piece I'd done in collaboration with Brian Davidson, who's a private investigator from Texas, who's actually been into the Connecticut State Police files and discovered hundreds and hundreds of photographs which contradict the official narrative. I mean, he finds locations where there's supposed to be bodies and pools of blood. There are no bodies or no pools of blood. He goes into classrooms where kids were supposed to have been massacred. Not only no bodies or blood, but no student desks or chairs, no teacher desk or chairs. In other words, he not only found evidence that it wasn't a mass murder, but that it wasn't even an operating school, which, of course, had been the conclusion drawn by the group of experts I brought together in editing the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, 13 contributors, including six PhDs. Now, Mike, you think six PhDs could figure out whether a school was open or closed? We concluded it had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, and that it had been a two-day FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. And, Mike, we even have the FEMA manual, which I included as Appendix A, which may, of course, be exactly why Amazon, less than a month after the book went on sale, banned the book. Even though it sold nearly 500 copies, you'd think a book that sold nearly 500 copies in less than a month and was destined to be a runaway bestseller would be something a business, as Amazon is supposed to be, would like. But in fact, I believe they were acting as an agent of the state in banning that, and they banned five more of my books. And I know you have been subject to similar censorship, which is a major, major problem, because if we can't see all sides, all points of view, and all the evidence, and we're being manipulated. It's a elementary fallacy known as special pleading, also known as the method of selection and elimination. Select the evidence that supports a predetermined conclusion and eliminate the rest. That's what the Biden admin has been practicing ad nauseum, and it extends to every aspect of politics. It's stunning stuff, Mike. Your thoughts?
I think it was Tennyson wrote the lie of omission is the blackest lie of all. Either him or Robert Louis Stevenson speaking through Sherlock Holmes, I'm not sure. But boy, that is that's so true. If you just can omit certain facts or certain ideas or certain beliefs and just only present the other ones, you could almost lie without technically even having to lie. But yeah, I'm kind of trained to look for these inconsistencies, and I started just noticing things right away. The first day, I thought to myself, "Where's the gurneys?" That's another thing that's missing. Obviously, from day one, they were promoting the gun control. Whether one chooses to believe that was real or not, it was clear that they were hammering on the gun control. Well, wouldn't you want to tug at the heartstrings of the public by showing, gurneys of little bodies, little children in body bags? It would have been quite easy to do, but evidently they're so supremely confident in the gullibility of the masses that they didn't even think of a small step like that. And I said, why wouldn't they show the gurneys? And then, like you said, the lack of blood I can always sense when someone is feigning emotion. You see some of these characters and there's no tears, It was just very, 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 very strange. But it seems like an important precedent was sent, because later on there was Boston, Orlando. Well, how about Orlando? What was that, 80 dead?
Over 50, but I mean that was another totally phony. Just as a San Diego school, it turned out it actually been closed in 2006. And get this, Mike, as you know, it wasn't even an elementary school. It was a special needs school. I've learned from inside sources with whom I've been in contact for over a year. And the Orlando permit had expired 3 years before the event. They repainted it from white to black because it was closed. They only had 11 parking spaces. It only had 150 occupancy. They claimed it was jammed with over 300. There would have been abandoned vehicles all over the place. Yeah. They weren't there. Yeah. They showed phony footage dancing, and there was lots of room and space. I mean, they would have been packed in there like sardines had it been real. The medical establishment didn't even charge for services rendered for the reason they didn't render any services. I mean, the whole thing is so fake. Yeah. And there's some very low-quality crisis actors involved in Orlando making emotional pleas about banning the guns that no one who just lost a child would have even distantly in their mind. I mean, it was insulting. But they banned my book on Orlando and Dallas, too, and then also on Charlottesville, on Parkland.
There were so many. It seemed during the reign of Obama, it seemed like once a month there was something going on. It's just I guess it's the incredulity of it all is what gives these things their effectiveness, and people need to stop falling into that trap, the appeal to incredulity, where you say, oh, that can't be. It's something so outlandish and implausible that you close your mind to it. But unless something is impossible, like a physical impossibility, like, for instance, me running a mile in under 4 minutes, unless it's a physical impossibility, it should be considered. If it's not in the realm of a physical or a chemical impossibility, if you're dealing with social dynamics, right. Nothing is impossible. Nothing.
If you're witnessing violations of the laws of nature, what you're witnessing cannot be true. It's like Flight 175 effortlessly disappearing into the South Tower, which takes place in the same number of frames. It disappears its whole length into the building, and it passes through air its whole length, which is... physically absurd, unless a massive 500,000-ton steel and concrete building provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an aircraft in flight than air. And, Mike, we even had the nose-out phenomenon. The nose of an aircraft is the most fragile. It has all the electronic parts. It can be effortlessly crushed. But if you actually look carefully at the video, the nose actually pops out on the other side.
Sure.
Because we're not dealing with a real plane. We're dealing with an image.
Have you seen the image of some of the damage that geese have done to commercial airliners?
Yeah, bird. Yeah, hitting a bird in flight that weighs a few ounces.
No, it's just an aluminum tube. And when people say, "Oh, it was so heavy," well, weight means nothing. It's weight relative to the towers. So relative to the towers, it's like throwing an empty Coke can at a brick wall. Not a brick wall, a steel wall. A steel wall.
Ah, a brick wall is good enough. You're right. The analogy is perfect.
Yeah. But it really is. You know, as someone who studies, I have an interest in psychology and philosophy, as you do. The real amazement here is that how otherwise highly intelligent people cannot see it. You know, it's quite remarkable.
Well, it's got to do with groupthink, you know, social pressure. Yeah. It's got to do with mass media. Listen, my sources explain the media were already in Newtown before the event took place, Mike. They were already there.
Yeah.
I mean, how bad is that? Now, this particular article is one of the best presentations I've ever put together about Sandy Hook, and I've done a lot. So I want to encourage everyone to go there. I thought I'd pick out a few highlights and invite your comments as to what you found most surprising or disturbing about the whole thing. But I really like what you did. I did begin by explaining how the concept of a false flag originated in pirate times, when they'd fly the flag of a nation friendly to that of the target vessel, then get down and run up the skull and bones prior to attack. Today, it doesn't mean any stage or orchestrated event designed to place blame on parties other than those responsible. All false flags are therefore designed as covert actions, where disclosing their actual source gives the game away. And the question becomes urgent and important to the public if any of the school shootings that receive such massive publicity were in fact staged events or false flags themselves. Now, if you look here, Mike, it's interesting. The sign says Sandy Hook School. It does not say Sandy Hook Elementary School. And that's because, as I've already observed, it wasn't even an elementary school. It was a special needs school. I mentioned we even had the manual. I included that in my Supreme Court briefs. It was not an operating school becomes evident from multiple sources, but especially photographs like this. Something that's very striking, Mike, is that there's no playground equipment. This is supposed to be an elementary school, but there's no playground equipment. There's no handicap parking. You got two rows of vehicles all facing a building when by the driving instructions, you drive in, turn right, then curl around and park facing away. I mean, evidently, it was just simpler to bring the vehicles all in a single file and put them in two by two. Who was even going to notice? After all, they were just props. But the fact is, there are entrance and exits that are not wheelchair accessible, which means this was in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act, both in Connecticut law and federal, which I checked at the time. And moreover, you made a mention, there was no surge of EMTs into the building, no string of ambulances to rush the little bodies off to hospitals where they could be declared dead or alive. No medevac helicopter was called, and they do that even for drills. And, of course, this was a drill. And they put up triage tarps with no bodies of dead or wounded were ever placed on the triage tarps. And when Wayne Carver, the medical examiner, would give his press conference, he said that they didn't actually allow the parents to even witness the bodies, but did it on the basis of photographs.
And no, they left them in the school overnight, is my understanding.
Isn't that absurd? Isn't that absurd, Mike?
Listen, we'll get them tomorrow.
As a parent, I got to say, if I were told a child of mine were dead, there's no force on earth that could keep me from witnessing the body for myself.
Yeah. So, again, it's what's missing, so much of what's missing. As was the case in Orlando, I asked myself, is there a school or a nightclub in this country, in this day and age, that doesn't have security cameras? Okay, you ought to be able to see this stuff. We say, oh, they don't want to show people being killed. Well, you can black out some of the gory stuff, but where are the cameras? Well, that was a big issue for me.
They did piece together some airsats security footage, and that included the dancing where they're widely spaced, which is preposterous if it's packed with 300 when it only has 150. And there were like 8 different exits, and yet they claimed there was no way they could escape. I mean, it was just totally bullshit from beginning to end. Just, and the book rips it apart. So, of course, they had to ban that one too, Mike. I'm interested in the books of yours that have been banned. I take it that was kind of wholesale, that they just dumped a whole lot of books you had all at the same time.
Well, it's an interesting story. The flagship, my original claim to fame, so to speak, was The Bad War, Truth Never Taught about World War II. And that was selling like hotcakes for a couple of years on Amazon. So that means they make a cut too. And what happens, Jim, is when you can make an initial splash based on your own marketing and your own following, the Amazon system through algorithms picks up on that. They say, oh, we got a winner here. So then Amazon starts marketing for you. Okay. They choose the winners and the rich get richer, so to speak. So the book was really blowing up. At one point, if you went to the Amazon search engine and put World War II in there, my book, The Bad War, was coming up on the first page.
Excellent.
So, it was really getting out there, and it just demolishes the fake history that was World War II. I was also gaining a new following from it. It was really exciting times. Also, Planet Rothschild, my 2-volume set, was exploding at this time. Now, what happened in 2017, you recall there was a rash of vandalism events across the country targeted at Jewish centers and synagogues.
These are perpetrated by the Jews themselves.
Well, the guy who's calling in the bomb threats, they eventually traced them to Israel. And supposedly they had him arrested, and then Israel put out a statement. Yeah, he's someone who's a little mentally unstable, blah, blah, blah. No intelligence at work. But they generated so much pressure against Amazon because of these phony bomb scares and these vandalism events to remove any Holocaust denial or World War II revisionist books. To their credit, interesting enough, Amazon held firm. They ignored this for a number of years. Finally, in March of 2018, there was an event, a vandalism event at a Jewish cemetery in Seattle, in the shadow of Amazon headquarters. And that was the final push. And they had the list all ready to go. And Amazon, for the first time, began banning books. They removed 25 or 30 books of various authors, all of them dealing with the Holocaust hoax. And it included my book, The Bad War. Later on, they removed Planet Rothschild. Eventually, they removed me altogether as an author. They won't touch my stuff. Fortunately, you can still order them online in paperback or PDF format at my website, realhistorychan.com. You'll see a menu up top for banned books, so you can get them in either format. But that's my story. That's how they clipped my wings 2 years ago.
My second book is a sequel to Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, had the title. And I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, which someone might say, here ain't nobody died at Sandy Hook. Which gives, you know, a lot of proof that we didn't go, we couldn't go, we didn't have the technical capacity to make it happen. They banned that book as one of those because it has a section on the Holocaust by Thomas Dalton, Robert Forreson. I mean, just some of the best essays ever written, including one of mine as an introduction to Nick Horstrom's Breaking the Spell, which is absolutely sensational. Where he had access to the British death books. Of course, they cracked the German code, so they had extensive records. The Germans were so meticulous, and it backstopped the conclusion of the International Committee of the Red Cross when they recalibrated their numbers in 1993, that the total inmates who died at all the camps from all causes combined was like 896,081, none of whom died from being put to death in a gas chamber by Zyklon B, because there weren't any gas chambers. We had Fred Lochter, who was the leading expert on gas chambers in the trial in Canada, of a Holocaust denier who actually went to Germany and came back with his report that there was nothing at any of the camps that could have remotely served as a gas chamber. I mean, it's all really stunning stuff. You would have thought that would have put an end to it, Mike, but no, 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 the myth continues.
They're too heavily invested in it right now, this atrocity propaganda, because it benefits them to this day. You know, some hoaxes, they get exposed 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. People could speak openly about them. But this one is too big because it's, and they're still making money off of it. And the existence, the very existence of Israel is predicated on that. If you think about
That's right.
If you remove that, you have a really illegitimate state. It's a big problem. And it's similar to like, you know, people say to me, sometimes people complain about Putin because he promotes this World War II mythology. Okay. And you have to put it in context. That Soviet, that is so deeply embedded in Soviet and Russian thinking. I mean, he can't come out and say the truth. He's got to play along with it. So, and the whole hoax is the same way. And all the World War II mythology, because World War II, like I always say, is the foundational mythology that defines the modern world. To go back and correct it has present day implications. It's like a math equation that you got wrong. You go back early to one of the sub equations and you figure out where you put the decimal point in the wrong place. It changes the whole equation. So because of its, you know, contemporary implications, they still, to this day, have to prop it up. So it might be another 20, 30, 40 years before people can really speak openly about.
You're spot on because Jewish or Israeli political power is rooted in Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust. So if the Holocaust didn't happen, then there's no need for that sense of guilt or deference to Israel or the Jewish community on political grounds. Let me add a couple more points from the piece where everyone can find it at Your Real History Chan. This is fascinating. It turns out that the photograph of the purported evacuation was actually staged. The top here was published in the New York Times, for which you are celebrated as a critic. But it turns out Shannon Hicks, and she's admitted having taken both, took an earlier photograph below. We can see parents standing around, hands in their pockets. They rearranged the kids to get a better shot. They replaced a little girl in a big sweater and a short skirt with a little boy in a dark sweater and blue jeans, Mike. And if you look right in the middle of the bottom, you see parents there just casually looking on, leading me to refer to the bottom photograph as lounging at the massacre. Once you see this, I don't know how in the world you can possibly continue to maintain Sandy Hook was real. I mean, just that juxtaposition of photographs. There's that principle under the law, false in one, false in all, so that if, you know, a witness testifies falsely to some material issue, discount all of their evidence. Well, here you have yet another proof that it was fraudulent by staging the evacuation. And remember, there weren't any kids there, actually. My inside sources have pointed out the kids actually came from the Adventure Center, which is a little school no one knows about that's halfway between the firehouse and the Sandy Hook School, which I reiterate was actually for special needs kids. And that's why you don't have a U-shaped driveway. They didn't need buses to come in, pick up kids, and get out without confounding one another. And there was also, of course, no string of buses to evacuate what would have been 469 other students, according to the official report, or 489 there, subtract 20. You got 469 to be evacuated. What would that take, 20 buses? Yeah. Not a bus to be seen. There weren't any. And they made up.
You know, Jim, December in Connecticut is a bit chilly. I don't see any coats on these kids. What kind of adults would put these kids on it? I mean, look at them. They look like they're dressed for, you know, maybe September, a September day.
Yes, yes.
No gloves,
I agree, Mike. You're absolutely right.
It's these little things that I don't know.
Go ahead, Mike.
The little things represent little loose threads. One of my favorite Hitchcock movies is The Rope with Jimmy Stewart. I don't know if you ever saw it, but he just picked up literally on a loose thread of a rope. It says, what is that? And he just kind of unraveled the whole mystery. It's the little things that, people have lost the ability to look for.
Yes.
But there's a million little things here.
Yeah. Well, I want to encourage everyone to go to my blog, to Mike's Real History Chan. Even go to my Twitter. You can get more of this information, including the fact that the FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012 showed at the intersection of murder or non-negligent manslaughter in Newtown, at which Sandy Hook is a division, the number 00. There's so much going on here. And then you'll find a lot about how the legal case was handled to deprive me of my rights, and that we leave it uncovered. The Connecticut FEMA statement designating the drill right on their agenda and providing a map of how to get down there. And then, as I mentioned in the beginning, how Brian Davidson has been into the Connecticut police files on Sandy Hook and found all these photographs. And guess what, Mike? In addition, he discovered the photographs have had their metadata removed, which identifies when and where the photographs were taken, so they aren't admissible in courts of law, except I say that was obviously consciousness of guilt. And the very fact the metadata has been removed is evidence of altering evidence, which is in and of itself a crime. So here you got the Connecticut State Police, who appear to have been actually running the drill behind the scene, Mike. I mean, it's absurd, but that's the way it all plays out. Ridiculous.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
I'm so impressed by your having the wherewithal to publish this piece, Mike, because I'm telling you, there aren't a lot of venues that would be willing to stand up to the plate on an issue as controversial as Sandy Hook. Let me see a paragraph. Well, we have to bring up be with it.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, you know, Mike, at the end of the article, you added some stuff about Robbie Parker, who, of course, came out of the building all jocular, jovial, virtually laughing, saw the assembled press, paused, hyperventilated to get into character, and then began talking about the loss of his daughter, Emily, and had the presence of mind to mention her donation website. By the way, several of those were put up in advance of the event. Everyone wanted to get their cut of the pie. And I mentioned there how for over a year I've been in contact with insiders, and that includes a girl who was cast as Emily Parker, who is alive and well. Her name is Margaret Alice Cottle, and it also includes Vicky Soto, who is supposed to be a teacher who died heroically, whose real name is Vicky Aurelio. She's actually the daughter of the town clerk. And, you know, they both have wanted this all to be exposed so they could get their life back. And at one point, I thought I had that in the works, that I was going to be able to present them. But for reasons I can't account for completely, it didn't come to pass. But let me just tell you, I learned so much about what took place, including that Eric Holder came to Newtown in 2006, which is when the school was actually closed, and offered the community $140 million to participate in this event, which showed America what could happen if we don't take guns away, you know, if we don't undermine the Second Amendment. And with the participants, they had auditions for roles, Mike. They had signed non-disclosure agreement. They got all kinds of benefits. They don't pay taxes, free college tuition. So when those, you know, families who didn't want to be a part of it just moved out of Newtown. They went elsewhere. But the whole thing was very elaborate, many years in the planning. They even put up the word elementary on the school building, which hadn't been present before. And I think they had to do it early on so the lettering would become somewhat weathered. But in fact, it wasn't an elementary school from scratch. So you really put your finger on some good stuff there. And yeah, Robbie Parker is not even Emily's father. He's her uncle. I mean, it's ridiculous. Your thoughts?
Jim, I wanted to ask you, what surely you attempted to present this information in your case. Was this
well, a lot of this? A lot of this was long after I only got in contact. They were upset with what had happened to me in the courts, and they reached out to me to make contact. And so it wasn't information I had available at that point in time. Now, by the point where I reached going to the Supreme Court, I was able to add appendices that included the FEMA drill, but also in Appendix A through D that included not only the FEMA manual, but the Connecticut State FEMA agenda in the map, but also then in Appendix E, which is Brian Davidson going into the Connecticut State Police files and discovering the photographs that substantiate not only was it not mass murder, but it wasn't even an operating school. And get this, Mike. The Supreme Court normally on the docket makes available these supporting appendices. In my case, they did not. They put my petition, this is my petition for rehearing, and they just added a page and said there are additional supporting documents, but you have to contact the clerk of the court to access. So they were suppressing. It's your point about the lies of omission. They were suppressing access to the public. Because if you just look at those appendices, and I've linked them in the article, you can see it's explosive stuff. It blows the case out of the water all by itself. So even the Supreme Court was not willing to make that available to the public. Truly outrageous.
Is it worth it to attempt and revisit the matter? Or are you able to? Or is it something that's just closed?
Oh yeah, I'm still in the courts. The whole idea was to suppress the book, and I can't tell you how many violations of the law, protocol, proper procedure were violated in my case. As I mentioned in passing here, none of these Sandy Hook cases, whether it's Alex Jones or Remington or mine, were decided on the merits. They were all decided on procedural grounds, and mine was decided by a summary judgment procedure when it should have gone to a jury, because in Wisconsin, it turns out the judge has the right to decide what evidence is relevant or not relevant. And all my evidence he set aside as not relevant, including, get this, Mike, the report of two forensic document experts who sided with me that all the death certificates that were introduced in the case and before the oral hearing there were four were fabricated or fake. Those were from the document experts. Now, normally in court, that's how you decide the authenticity of an issue, by reports of document experts. The Posner side did not have a contrary expert to offset that ought to have been determinative all by itself. But he just set it aside as not helpful and went ahead and ruled in favor of Posner. I mean, I must have had 50 motions, and then every one of which was denied by the court. I mean, the improbability, if this had been a fair hearing, is approximately zero. I mean, when you read through the documents, and I've given quite a few there so you can get a sense of it, this is a weaponization of the judicial system, and it's part of why we're in such a bad state. It's been vividly portrayed to the nation by these attacks on Donald Trump, which have no foundation whatsoever. I mean, it's embarrassingly bad.
Apparently, the judgment did not include any kind of gag order on you. I mean, what limitations did they place on you?
Only regarding four sentences over which I'd been sued. So I'm not allowed to affirm that the death certificate is fake. I'm only explaining that. I'm not asserting it. I'm just explaining to you what there are four variations on the claim to death I'm not allowed to make. I'm reporting to you that the forensic document experts do that conclusion, which I'm forbidden from asserting myself, but I'm just telling you that's what they found. And all the evidence I have, obviously, see, what's staggering, and this is in the article, the judge ruled that all my evidence that nobody died at Sandy Hook was not relevant to the accuracy or the truthfulness of the death certificate for a party where it says right on the death certificate, he died at Sandy Hook of multiple gunshot wounds. Now, how is that possible? You don't have to be a professor of logic to understand there's something absurd here. It's that bad. Like, it's that bad. Listen, there's another issue I want to tap your mind about, which has to do with how politics is evolving and a possible candidate on the Democrat side, namely Michelle Obama.
Biden. Big Mike.
Mike, I know.
Big Mike.
Joe Biden, even way back when, said he'd have Michelle Obama in a heartbeat as his running mate for the 2020 election. She actually appears to have played football at Oregon State Well, it's born Michael LaVon Robinson. She's number 44 there. Then she switched to Princeton and changed her persona and began calling herself Michelle. Here's a photograph very telling of Barack with Michael and what looks to me like a young Bill Gates. But notice Michael doesn't have the sort of configuration a female of the human species possesses. Yeah, yeah. Not only that, but here's a photograph where you can see Michelle as a package that most women do not have. Here's another. When your husband is no longer present, you can let your beard grow. Here was a physician who was looking after her.
Dan Ringers.
Campaign trail, Mike. His name is Dr. Raphael Espizio. He was her looking after her, and he knows what he saw. He reports Michelle Obama is not a woman who used to be a man. Michelle Obama is just a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. On the campaign trail, no medical staff were allowed to go near her other than to take vitals if she got sick, which she never did. I know what I know because I walked in on her or him while he was taking a leak standing up in a bathroom in Trenton. They paid me millions for my silence, but after seeing what they've done to the country, I can't keep quiet. Let them sue me. Now, a diligent student here tracked down the children and found their actual parents, since, of course, two men cannot have children, contrary to present Democrat orthodoxy, which has become absurdity compounded by absurdity. Look how much the older girl looks like her father, the younger like her mother. Joan Rivers, of course, was asked about, now that we have our first black president, will we have our first gay? And she replied, well, we already have the first gay president with Obama, so let's just calm down. And we know Michelle is a tranny, a transgender. We all know it, too. 2 months to the day she outed them, she was dead, having stopped breathing during a routine endoscopy, though it's possible that that may have been staged as well. But look at her physique compared to, there's Mike Tyson, one of the most awesome boxers in our history. Here's another sitting next to little Mike. Yeah, big Mike. I mean, my God, you're kidding. You actually think that's a woman? Here she is coming out, and check out her behavior as she comes out. She scratches her nuts.
Yeah.
Mike, she scratches her nuts coming out. I mean, just this is unbelievable. And then if you even want more, she was on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Check this out.
Oh, boy.
I got to tell you, Mike, if the American people want to vote for a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill, that's okay with me. But they are entitled to know the truth. And this is why I've been seeking to out Michelle on this issue for many years now. I did my homework before I began talking about it because it's such an explosive issue. But I don't think anyone... Yeah. The evidence we've just seen in the last 5 minutes could have any doubt about it.
No, you know, it was interesting about that Joan Rivers quote. She said, you know, Michelle's a tranny, and she paused. She says, we all know. And you think about it, what does she mean by we all know? Certainly not the American public. These people live in a different world. She means in her crowd, okay, in that level, at that echelon, we all know. Which is, you know, very telling. You don't say something like that unless we all know. So, yeah. And then she dies. healthy woman. You know, I mean, she was 80, but she was very active. And like you said, a very routine procedure.
Yes.
But she wasn't the only one to meet an early demise. Back in 2007, 2008, there were three homosexuals who were members of Obama's church that died mysteriously and were linked with him, you know?
Well, Obama, when he was a state senator in Illinois, had a torrid affair with Rahm Emanuel in the bathhouses of Chicago. It was widely known at the time. And then when he's elected president, he brings Rahm along as his chief of staff. I mean, you know, give me a break. Yeah. But it's bizarre what goes on here.
It's Caligula-like,
I'm relatively...
Harkens back to Nero in Caligula, you know? I mean, this is what happens to civilizations and their death throes. The so-called elite just becomes so thoroughly corrupted. There's nothing they're not capable of, you know?
I'm inclined to believe that because they're this bizarre couple, that they've been fostering all the transgenderism, all the stuff, and drag shows and kindergartens and that sort of thing, anal sex and masturbation taught to third graders. I think the Obamas are a driving force because they want to feel normal. They're anything but if they can change what's normal, maybe they'll feel better about themselves. Mike, I have a hard time resisting that this is part of the equation as to why we have this desecration of elementary schools by this pro-tranny agenda and all this girls and boys and girls bathrooms and, you know, having men who declare themselves to be women and in women's sports. I mean, we all celebrated when Title IX was passed and gave women sports equal standing to men. And now the Democrats of all people have been doing everything they can to destroy it. I mean, it's outrageous. How could anyone support a party that was just dysfunctional and corrupt. I mean, even about the most basic facts of life, of biology.
You know, it's interesting. You go back a long time. The crypto-Marxist economist John Maynard Keynes, whose economic theories, Keynesianism, are the foundation of the modern monetary system with the perpetual debt and the central banking and so on. But he was a homosexual, and he wrote, I want to say 30s or 40s about this, envisioning a day when 30% of the population was homosexual and just talking about, the normalization. So, I mean, this has been in the works a long time, Jim, but obviously they weren't going to get there all at once. So it just started, with the 60s and the sexual revolution. And then came the quote-unquote tolerance that they asked for homosexuals. And then the tolerance, they moved the bar to military service and marriage, and then on and on and on it goes. And now, here we are. This is all part of a gradual continuum of events, which is why, sometimes you can't yield to that first little, incursion into sanity and morality. You got to nip it in the bud. Just point by point by point. And John Maynard Keynes was the earliest that I know about. Well, actually, you go back even further to the Frankfurt School in Germany before Hitler shut them down. This is what they were promoting in Weimar Germany, the ultimate normalization of all of this stuff. The 1920s. Yeah.
The film Cabaret captures it almost perfectly.
And when Hitler put them out of business, the Frankfurt School, guess where all the degenerates came?
To the American, no doubt.
Yep, they brought the cancer here. And it's interesting, so many of them went to Columbia in particular, because that's where the teacher's college is, okay? So you could spread the poison out from Columbia University.
Yes. I actually did my third year graduate work as Columbia as my outside minor in philosophy when I was earning my PhD in the history and philosophy of science at Indiana. And they had an excellent faculty in the philosophy of science, which was my field. But I also got engaged in local politics. I became a member of Students for Columbia University. Students for Democrat Society actually did a raid on what they thought was a military recruitment office, but it was actually the employment, business employment. They were throwing typewriters out the window and all that. And I had a megaphone right there in the center of the campus, and I was calling them out, and several of them descended on me, and some of my friends came to my aid. And at the end of the year, CBS did a retrospective, and there I was in the middle of this crowd at Columbia in this row with CBS. Really extraordinary, Mike. I mean, really, truly.
And you learned a lot in college. I mean, it was at Rutgers where I got my first smell of these Marxists and how they operated. You know, only I didn't know at the time, you know, how high up the strings are. You know, but certainly the corruption of the universities was, you know, another one of those tentacles we talk about. Yeah, academia, fake news media, Hollywood, you know, this is what defines the culture, and they got them all.
Mike, as part of our concluding segment here, please tell my audience what you think are the issues they should focus on most, where they can find more of your work. I think the anti-New York Times is sensational. And obviously, Real History Chan is doing good, good work, for which I'm enormously in your debt.
Thank you. Well, again, that's realhistorychan.com. First thing you want to do when you go there is at the footer of every page, get on my mailing list, and you'll get a free report called How to Respond to an Anti-Conspiracy Theorist. It's a rebuttal to all of those stupid platitudes that people say about, you know, conspiracies. Oh, this could never happen. It would take too many people, et cetera, et cetera. Excellent report. It's free. And it gets you on the mailing list. A lot of the content at the site is free. Up top, you can see all the banned books. I have a special for $29. You can get 26 books, all banned from Amazon, in PDF format. They're also available as physical books. And then if you subscribe or donate, it also entitles you to receive the Anti-New York Times, which is a sub-feature of the site called the Almost Daily Anti-New York Times, where I'll take something from the New York Times and I'll dissect it. Usually it's just, you know, inverting it to get to the truth. But that's very, very popular. And, you know, if you could support me, that would help, especially after Amazon banned everything. You know, all of us in the truth or community, we have to support each other because we're not going to get it from, you know, the real world. So that's realhistorychan.com. And what's really unique about my website, I have to say, is the ability to I'll take a subject that seems vast and complicated and boil it down and make it concise so people could come up the learning curve very quickly. You know, once people go there, they tend to get hooked, to be quite candid with you. Realhistorychan.com. Get that free report and get on the mailing list.
Wonderful, Mike. Wonderful. And again, I can't thank you enough for publishing this piece about Sandy Hook. I would only hope that other venues might pick it up, republish, get the word out, just as you're doing such a magnificent job. I'm so very pleased to have this opportunity today, my friend. And I would sure like you to be right about how this is going to play out in 2024. I got to admit, I'm not as optimistic. I think they are going to try to steal it again. But it appears to me they can't do it with Biden, that they're going to try to find a way to bring in Gavin Newsom of California. And I think they would like to couple him with Michelle. I really do, which is another reason why I think the American people need to know the truth about Michael LaVon Robinson, a.k.a. Michelle Obama, where the report is that at the inauguration, even Obama was impressed with how Michael looked with his breast implants. He couldn't get over it, that he looked so much like a woman. I mean, And all this business about, you know, some outfits like Stu Peters, by the way, are doing a great job. And you got this guy did this wonderful thing called What is a Woman? I don't know if you have a chance to see that, Mike, but it's absolutely sensational. the documentary, What is a Woman, where he's going around and just asking. He's a very passive and responsible guy. He just wants to know what is a woman. And no one can tell him what is a woman. I mean, it's just ridiculous beyond belief, but very effective, very powerful. And once again, when you get down to violating the laws of nature, in this case of biology, you wind up in a predicament. It may have been Voltaire who observed that those who can induce us to believe absurdities can also make us commit atrocities. Yeah. And I'm apprehensive that that's on the horizon.
Well, that's right. The big one is, you know, when they can dehumanize people, they're big on that. You know, whether it's attacking a foreign country or marginalizing a section of the American public, either calling them, you know, far right or conspiracy theorists. But they like to do that. They put a label on you, marginalize you, and then kill you. That's how they got away with killing so many Germans and Arabs, you know, during the various wars, you know, and they would like to do that. They would certainly like to do that to us. That's for sure.
And had we had more time today, we would have talked about Sound of Freedom, where Mel Gibson went all out to expose child trafficking. The southern border is a major issue here. It eventually leads you into adrenochrome, which it appears American elites are addicted to, including Hillary. The truth about Hillary is so despicable, Mike, it would just boggle the mind of the average American to understand the actions she has taken with Huma Abedin and others.
What a monster. And, you know, if there was anything that was going to finally compel the military to intervene, it was her. And I do believe that that's what happened. But there is no exaggerating the evil of this woman. I mean, there's pictures of her wearing an upside down crucifix. Okay, that is a person who belongs to a satanic cult. Nobody else wears that. And there's another picture of Chelsea wearing, it's unmistakable, you can enlarge it, but they're upside down crucifixes. And that's what these people are into. And it involves the abuse of children.
Mike, I can't thank you enough for coming on The Raw Deal today. It's a real joy and pleasure for me to feature you here. I'm so grateful.
We got to do it again.
We will. Thanks so much, Mike.
Take care of yourself. Good luck.
Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their